Our Old Testament lesson is from the book of Exodus, and we read last week, we read the very beginning of Exodus with the enslavement of the Hebrew people in Egypt and of Moses' birth and the wonderful rebellion of some women in his life who said no to Pharaoh and didn't kill him but let him live learned how Moses then ended up becoming adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and grew up in the house of the Pharaoh. That was chapter 1 and beginning of chapter 2. And then after Moses is born, we jump forward to Moses as an adult. And one day he sees an Egyptian beating up on a Hebrew person. So Moses kills the Egyptian, thinks he's done it in secret, but he hasn't. Pharaoh wants to kill him for killing the Egyptian. And so Moses flees to the land of Midian. And there he meets Zipporah, a woman whom he marries, and he has a son, Gershom, by her. And then Pharaoh dies, and the Hebrew people cry out to God. That's all in chapter 2. And chapter 2 ends with this verse that's so important for setting up the reading for this morning. The people have been enslaved by the previous Pharaoh and are still slaves, and they cry out to God, and then the text says, "And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them." And then we move into this chapter. And so hear now how God is speaking to you through these words of the book of Exodus. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. And then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. And so come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. And thanks be that our special effects mostly worked. But hopefully you can all see it. I don't know if you can see it over on this side, but we have a burning bush up front. So. You are on holy ground, Moses, said God. Take off your sandals. Take off your sandals, Moses, so that you can touch holy ground with your bare feet. This ground is so holy, it is an offense not to touch it. It must be touched. It would be an offense not to experience, not to know its physicality, its earthiness, its realness. Let your flesh touch the flesh of the earth. Let the pain of pebbles and sticks remind you that you are alive and are made of flesh. Let the dirt and the dust stick to your feet and cover them. Let it get underneath your toenails. Let the dust expose the wrinkles and the lines in your flesh, because you are made of this dirt and this dust, and to it you shall return, and it is holy. And it is holy because God is present and God is holy. It's the God who said to Moses, and notice these verbs here, I have observed the misery of my people. I have heard their cry. I know their suffering, and I have come down to bring them up. God has come down, for we are earthly, fleshly creatures and beings, and so God comes to us. God comes in a burning bush, later as a pillar of fire. And then God comes down as Jesus and continues to come to us in bread and wine of communion. Bread and wine that can be touched and poked and felt, and see the softness and the purple of the grapes. Roll the bread around in your hand, squeeze it, listen as the crust rips. Hear the wine being poured, smell the yeast and the flour and the aroma of grapes. Taste it, eat it, put it inside your body, feel it nourish and fill you up. God comes down to lift us up. God comes to us as the homeless woman or child who needs a quilt or a pillow. As a hungry neighbor, as a wounded vet, as a lonely widow or a friendless man, who by their very nature all make holy the ground on which they stand and make holy the moment in which we meet them. For the holy is all around us, and holy ground is under our feet. And not just because this is a church or sanctuary, not just because we have consecrated it to be holy, but because God has made it and God has made us and encounters us here in this space, in our flesh, and encounters us also out there in outside spaces as well, in our flesh and in the world, to see and touch, to hear and to smell and to see. Sacred places and sacred moments abound. You might call it everyday holiness. The holy moments that are always around us. The poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote this short poem. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. And only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries. Even the common bushes are afire with God. Our everyday moments filled with God's presence and with holiness. Watching the clouds or a deer or a songbird out the window, or cooking a meal for someone, having lunch with a friend, even fighting with a neighbor, or staying home because of a snow day, the blessing of a day of rest. When your child is screaming, or when you say, I love you, to your significant other or to that child. When a city and a whole coast comes together to prepare for and endure a hurricane, or to rebuild after a tornado, or a congregation that repaints a sign and weeds its gardens and replaces light bulbs, the simple, mundane things of life. But do we notice that they are holy? Do we think to take off our shoes or our gloves or whatever outerwear we have on, do we think to take them off in the presence of the holy so that we can encounter the holy in its fleshy fullness without anything separating us or protecting us? Or do we prefer to keep a protective barrier between us and whatever it is so that we don't risk contamination, getting dirty and dusty with other people's pain or failures or their needs or suffering or cries for justice? Those things that might make us uncomfortable and feel that perhaps we need a shower afterward. This holy moment that Moses has up on the mountain with this burning bush, as so many holy moments do, it comes completely unexpected. He's not looking for it. He's not planning for it. And I doubt that it's even possible to plan for a holy moment. I think that if we were to try to do that, God hears the plan and says, no. No, you're not going to tell me when you're going to experience the holy. I'm giving them to you all the time. But you don't notice because you're looking for something else. Or because the moments aren't what you want. Every common bush is a fire with God and God's voice calling you by name, waiting for us to say, here I am, Lord. Speak to me. Touch me. And maybe we miss these moments because they're often disguised as something to do. Holy ground, these holy experiences, I think, demand some kind of response from us, some kind of change in our lives. I would hope that any encounter with God, any encounter with the holy would leave us changed in some way, at least to just want to be more faithful, to inspire us to be more like God wants us to be, to respond in some way, and so often it can be a sacrificial way. To give up more money or things, or give up the pursuit of things, or give up a prejudice or a comfort or an ideology or a habit or a dream. And when I was in college, still living in Janesville, and was there during the summer months in our church, started taking the youth group on a mission trip every summer, and I got to go along as a chaperone. And for a few years after college, got to experience them. I think I went on 8 or 9 trips with the youth group. We went to West Virginia, Virginia, Maine, Massachusetts, a bunch of places. And I remember that the first trip I went with certain prejudices. I had really only ever known Wisconsin, although I was going to school in Michigan as well, but pretty much the same kind of crowd of people there that I knew here. Not a whole lot different. I didn't know much of any place else. And I went with certain prejudices about who the poor are and about who Southerners are and common laborers. I had a rather arrogant attitude toward a lot of people that I had never really met before. On that first trip, God took a great big hammer to some of those prejudices and showed me how ignorant I was and how much I had missed. And it changed me. And I learned, started to learn how to show some compassion and mercy, which came from learning that I am part of a much bigger whole. That how, you know, even how I use energy living in Wisconsin can affect the working conditions of miners in West Virginia. or that how we consume and buy things here can affect people halfway around the globe. I learned that I am connected to the world and to other people. I had heard people say that before, but it wasn't, it was on those trips that I truly encountered the holy and learned through experience just how much kind of filled with junk I was, and God started chipping away at some of those and molding me into something new and different. And that learning of connection to the rest of the world was so important, and I experienced that in other places, living in New York, being around people with so many ethnicities and languages and backgrounds, and learned that we are all God's people, and that this is God's world, and that it and we are holy ground, fleshly and good, and it is all deserving of our attentiveness and awe and willingness to take off our sandals and touch it fully, to encounter the holy in all of its truth and glory. And Moses is changed from an escaped murderer and a shepherd to the one who is to lead his people to freedom, to go speak up to Pharaoh and demand that the people be set free. He lets down his barriers. He didn't have to go and check out that bush. He could have ignored it. He could have said, not today. Because a burning bush that isn't being consumed is a pretty new and a different thing. And I imagine it was probably a little scary, maybe even terrifying for Moses to witness it and to wonder. But he had the courage to go up, even though different things and new things often can be scary and terrifying. He could have said, I'm not going to look. It's best that I don't know. Best to pretend this never happened. But he goes to see what it is anyway, and his life story is completely rewritten into a whole new trajectory. And you think of the disciples in the gospel here. Jesus has called them to give up sort of who they thought they were, to become something new, to follow his call. Their narratives are rewritten when they decide to follow Jesus. And later, Jesus tells them, you know, he says to Peter, your mind is not on divine things, but on human things. You're not looking for the holy. And then Jesus said, if you really want to follow me, you have to take up your crosses. You must bear your crosses. And maybe one of those crosses that we are to bear is to become aware of the holiness that is constantly and ever around us. Not to take the easy path of ignoring it, but to witness to the sacred in each person and in each moment. To allow them to meet us and to change us. To bear the cross of knowing that the cries of the oppressed and the abused and the poor and the suffering are holy cries that deserve for us to observe. To hear the cry, to know their suffering, to go to them and to lift them up. And to take off our sandals because we are on holy ground and every common bush is a fire with God. Let us pray. Present and loving God, make us more mindful of the holiness that is in each moment and in each of us, that we too can see your fire in every bush. Amen.